Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning as we continue a series of messages encouraging the family. This morning we're looking at overcoming temptation, overcoming temptation. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning in verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let's pray. Lord, as Your people, we ask help and strength. Lord, from You, our great and awesome, wonderful God, Lord, to help us to flee and overcome temptation. Lord, we ask that You'll help us to run after and follow and pursue the things of You that pertains to godliness. We ask it for the praise of Your glory this morning. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior and our King, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I began this series of messages, I had no idea that the class that I'm taking on Monday nights would help me so much in these series of messages. Dr. Dudley, our professor in the class I take on Monday nights at the Baptist building, is a Christian counselor, and he's been talking about marriage counseling over the last month. It has helped me, and I'm able now to share with you from the overflow of those classes. This morning it's overcoming temptation, and it's not a evangelistic type message that you will have this morning. But I do want to say this: if you don't have Jesus, you need Him. Because with Jesus it'll work, without Jesus it won't work. And in our marriages, we need to put Jesus first place. Amen? He needs to be first place in our hearts and lives first before He can be first place in our marriages. So encouraging the family, overcoming temptation. This message, if it'll keep just one family together, it'll be worth it. If it'll keep one mom and daddy together, it'll be worth it. If it'll keep one husband and wife together, it'll be worth it. And may I say, if it'll keep one grandpa and grandma together, it'll be worth it. We ought to stay together for the glory of God. So overcoming temptation, everyone is tempted. Everyone is tempted in one way or the other. The oldest person in here, you are tempted. The youngest person, they are tempted also. Everyone is tempted. The pastor is tempted. The deacons are tempted. The Sunday school teachers, they are tempted. Everyone in here, we're tempted. We have an enemy. He's working overtime because his days are short. His days are short. So overcoming temptation, I'd like to share with you analysis of a temptation, of giving to temptation. Number one, being in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong frame of mind, you will give in to temptation. King David stepped out on the palace one evening, and this is in 2 Samuel chapter 11. He steps out on the palace and he overlooks, and he may have been bored at evening tide. He got up out of the bed. His soldiers, his mighty men may have told him, "You stay back as we go do battle," because one day a giant almost killed David. And his men said, "You stay back. You're too valuable." He may have been bored. And he steps out and he sees Bathsheba bathing. Now this man sent for that woman, committed adultery, had her husband murdered, and then took him. But the thing that David did displeased God. It says it in the Scripture. This man had everything a man could want. He actually had five wives. He had every material possession. He was king. He had it all. But he gave in to temptation. There's another man in Scripture. His name was Joseph. And this is recorded in Genesis chapter 39, that he was sold into slavery by his brothers. In other words, he was betrayed by his blood, his brothers. Sold into slavery, and yet God blessed him in Potiphar's house. Everything that Potiphar had, he gave to Joseph. He was the manager of it all. And yet, he had a woman after him every day. He was a slave. He could have had this woman. No one would ever known. God would have. And yet, he did not give in to temptation, but he stayed true to the Lord God. It says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, write it down. He was telling Potiphar's wife that if I would go into you, then I would not be a witness to God. I cannot do this to God. You see, his faith in God kept him from giving in to temptation. One man had everything. A man after God's own heart that stood against giants gave in to temptation. Another man in slavery did not, because he would not defile the name of God. So being in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong frame of mind, David walked out and saw that woman bathing. He should have turned around. What man in here would not have turned around when he saw a naked woman bathing? Wrong place, wrong time, wrong frame of mind. But Joseph, he fled from temptation. Our Scripture this morning says, flee sexual immorality. Run away from it. And that's exactly what Joseph did. He left his cloak and ran from Potiphar's wife. And then she lied about him. So giving in to temptation. When we give in to temptation, we're not right with God. When you give in to temptation, you're not right with God. God is not first. God is not priority in your life. God was nowhere around when David said, "Go get Bathsheba for me." He did not have God in the right place in his heart and in his mind. But Joseph was right with God. He said, "I will not, because it would bring shame to my God if I go into you." So giving in to temptation, you're not right with God, and also not right with your spouse. With your spouse. You become distant from each other. And no longer are you one flesh and one mind, as the Scripture tells us to be as husband and wife. You're not one anymore, but become distant from each other. No longer do you resolve conflicts, but you have unresolved conflict and you become distant from each other. So no longer are you right with your spouse. Also, not right with God, not right with spouse. You're not right with self when you give in to temptation. Not right with self. Not paying attention to what is happening on the inside of you. In other words, you don't pay attention to yourself, but you start paying attention to other people when you're not right with self. You want to take your mind off of what's churning in your own soul and mind, and you want to go and pay attention to other people. In other words, you medicate yourself. Some people medicate themselves when they don't pay attention to what's boiling inside of them. They use drugs. Some people use their children. You will run your children all over the state of Louisiana because you're paying attention to their lives. You pour yourself into other people and you do not deal with what's happening right here. You medicate yourself with sports. You medicate yourself with hobbies. And you do not pay attention to what's happening here. So you're not right with self. Also, you're not right with others when you give in to temptation. A man may, a man may open up to another woman that is not his wife and start telling her, which is unusual for men, start telling another woman all his problems, because she'll listen and pay attention and care, because there's distance between he and his wife. So he opens up to another woman, or the woman starts disrespecting her husband, and then starts going out with ungodly women, maybe with single women, to the bars or clubs or an innocent dance, and go out with ungodly women and do ungodly things because she's distant from her own flesh, should be one with each other, so they're not right with others. Instead of fleeing from it, they're in it and around it. With other people who are not striving to be like Christ. So not right with others. Another reason people give in to temptation is because of immorality and addiction. Immoral. Not having character and integrity, and like Joseph saying, this is not right with my God. I cannot do it. Or addiction. What you're doing, what's inside of you that you're not dealing with, is it secret? Is it secret that you don't want no one else to know about? And if anyone else knew about it, would you be embarrassed? If what's inside of you, is it abusive? Is it physically or emotionally abusive or degrading to self or others? Is it devoid of feelings? Is it devoid of feelings or the source or of painful feelings? What's inside? Or what you may be participating in? Is it empty? Is it empty of a committed and caring relationship, which, by the way, is marriage? Marriage. One man and one woman till death do us part. in sickness and in health, in the good days and the bad days? Is it empty of commitment? So immorality and addiction, what can we do? Why should a pastor share something like this from a pulpit? Because we're having an epidemic in the church. We no longer can say, well, that's how the world is. It's in the church. I preached a sermon some years ago, and a man asked me, do you think we really needed to hear that? Well, I knew the Lord led me to preach it. And that week, I had to call the sheriff. I had to help somebody. And within a month, two men left their families because they were already involved with someone at work. It's in the church. We hear about men of God. David was a man after God's own heart, giving in to temptation. If David can do it, I can do it. If David can do it, you can do it. Don't look pious down your nose and think it don't apply to you. If David can do it. We got to overcome this and deal with it. If you have this immorality or addiction or you're not right with people in your lives. And if it has happened, if you have immorality or an addiction, you need healing and restoration, and you need to get in God's Word and cling to Him in prayer and ask Him to help you. Sometimes you need professional Christian counseling. I can share with you what's in God's Word and pray with you and help you all that I can, but sometimes you need professional licensed help. Healing and Restoration. There's an acronym, CAST. You ever have a cast? I broke this hand playing sliding into third base one time in the Air Force, and it broke this bone going up my hand. And I made it worse because I kept playing. Everyone say that's dumb. Softball is not worth that. It's just not. I had to put a cast on me. Never had a cast in my life. And that thing irritated me. I itched. It was I'm right-handed. So everything I did was clumsy. It just wasn't right because it was something that I really, it wasn't part of me, but I had to wear it for healing. Now I can use that hand as good as I ever have been able to, because I wore a cast. So for healing and restoration, you got to wear a cast. Sometimes the things you got to do may be unnatural. It may irritate the snot out of you. But you got to do it for healing. In restoration. So in this acronym, let's go through this. We got time. C is for cut off. Cut off. Whoever you may have been doing something with, get away from them. Even if it's at work, quit to save your family. Move to another town if you got to. But cut off all association, quit the texting, quit the emailing, quit the looking at each other, and cut it off. Stop it. Run away from it. Whatever you may be dealing with, cut it off. Do all that you can to get away from it. Dr. Dudley said this about it. He said, when you're cutting it off, and if it's because of infidelity, you do it with your spouse present so that they can hear it. Whether it's on a phone call, on speakerphone, or in person, they need to hear it. So cut off. Secondly, A is for accountability. 24-hour accountability. If your spouse wants to look at your mileage, show it to them. If they want to look at your text messages, show it to them. If they want to look at your email, Facebook, or whatever, you show it to them. Do all that you can because you have lost their trust and you have lost all your rights because you gave in to temptation. And if you want to win their trust and their love back, you lose your rights. You show it to them. Accountability. Must win it back, and it takes a long time to put deposits in the love bank, if you remember that message. By the way, these messages is on our website, cooperbaptist.org, if you have missed some of them. But accountability. They have been betrayed. Betrayal is one of the worst things that happens to human beings. And why do you think people kill over such things? Because they've been betrayed. You lose your rights. So accountability. S is for strengthen. Strengthen your relationship with God. Our passage says pursue righteousness. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue peace with those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. If you have something against your pastor who loves the Lord Jesus and wants to feed you every Sunday, then you have a problem because I pursue God. If you have trouble with a brother and sister in Christ because you're not right and you're running around out in the community and being ungodly, then you need to get right. You pursue those and be with those who call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart. Pursue it. Grab a hold of God. Get right with God. Strengthen your relationship with God. Quit putting down people who love you. This church loves you. Your pastor loves you. Most of all, God loves you more than anybody in here. Get right with Him and strengthen your relationship with God. Strengthen your relationship with your spouse. Before the infidelity or maybe an addiction or something was going on in the marriage to start with. You need to go back with God's help and help of others and deal with that. Lady, you may have been wah, wah, wah for 10 years and he got tired of it. Went some other place. Was that right? No. Sir, maybe you haven't not showed affection towards her for years and she found affection some other. Was it right? No. It's sin. Run from it. But you strengthen your relationship with God and strengthen your relationship with each other. Spend time with each other. Spend time. I'm looking forward to going to the state convention. Why? Because my wife's going with me. We actually going to get away with each other for a little bit. I'm looking forward to it. You spend time with each other. Strengthen your relationships. T is turn it over to God and stop turning it over in your mind. if it has happened, if something has happened, it, whatever temptation, you may be sitting there, well, I'm not married, and, or this, or my spouse has gone on to be with the Lord, you're still tempted in things. Or if you have been betrayed, quit turning it over and over in your mind and turn it over to God. Now let me tell you this. Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. You're going to still remember it. You're still going to think about it. It's like shooting, missing a trophy buck. Now ladies, I know I just lost you on that, but men, it's like missing a trophy buck. You shoot that thing all night long in your sleep. Okay? That's turn it over in your mind over and over. And when that hurt comes, turn it to God. Quit turning it over in your mind. Quit replaying it over and over. Decide to forgive. One pastor did something, was betrayed his wife. Here he was, knew Scripture, and he asked forgiveness from his wife, confessed. They went on a vacation, and she got down, started thinking about it, and he said, you need to get right. I asked for forgiveness, and you forgave me, so it's over. That's crazy. When they think of it, they're going to remember it. It's going to be bad. It gets better. Then it gets worse. Then it gets better. There's stages that people have to fight through. Stages of grief. Keep forgiving. Keep turning it over to God for help. Remember the little thing about the mind? The brain is physical. The mind. You see, wherever your mind goes, and whatever you dwell on in your mind, your feelings will follow. So if you keep turning it over to God, keep forgiving that spouse, it's going to take time. But your feelings will follow. You may be hurt, upset, and mad over it, but you keep turning it over to God and forgiving, and eventually those feelings will get better. Need God's help to do that. The Scripture says, flee from it. Don't be ensnared. Don't get tangled up in it. Stay away from it. Do all that you can. Like Miss Tammy shared, put on the whole armor of God, which speaks of putting on Christ and being in Christ. Stand in Christ. Ask for help. Pursue the things of God. Stay together. Glorify God in your marriage and in your church. Fixing to have an invitation, and people come forward for many, many reasons. Different reasons. Sometimes God speaks to that person one way and that person about another. Completely different thing. But when it's a message from God's Word, that's how God speaks to people, not me. So there may be people come forward. It may not have nothing to do with infidelity or whatever. They may just need to come and kneel at the altar in their church and pray. Okay? I'll be here to help anybody to receive Jesus Christ. I'll tell you all I can about receiving Christ. Because with Jesus it'll work. Without Jesus, well, you're just married. That's it. Not a Christian marriage. All of us is tempted. We're all tempted. And if you're in pride right now saying, I'm okay, you're headed for a fall right now according to Scripture. according to the Scriptures. Folks, the devil's time is short. Let's live godly for Christ. Let's be a witness for Christ in our marriages, in our families, and in our church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your precious word and the strength and the courage, encouragement that we receive from it. Thank you that we can identify with the Savior, Lord, in our worship and in our ordinances, Lord, a Savior who loves us and cares for us even so much that you became the sacrifice so that we can be forgiven of sin. God, we thank you for your long suffering and your forgiveness, Lord, that if we have given in to temptation, whatever it may be, Lord, you will forgive us when we turn back to you and strengthen our relationship with you. God, I thank you for my church family. All the bumps and bruises that they have, I thank you for every one of them. I thank you for my family. God, help us, Lord, to live for you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.